This, I'm going to say, is some of the biggest news of the year.
Welcome back. A lot of energy, guys.
Mm-hmm. We'll wait for you to read.
All right, okay, agenda.
How much energy can you add to just the word welcome back?
I don't know.
Welcome back. And we always interrupt something.
Right. Okay, agenda. FASPA? Is that how you say it?
Doesn't matter.
Okay, FASPA. Ledger issues. River announcing River Link. Vanek CEO. We've got some stuff to say. ETF applicant Bitwise. They've released a Bitcoin ad. Grayscale CEO says ETF approval would unlock. I started going along with that one because I thought about it too much.
We'll say Grayscale
CEO.
Comments.
US court approves settlements, Binance stuff, BlackRock stuff, and Danny's tweet.
And?
The biggest, probably going to take most of the podcast, the Bitcoin is Bitcoin 2023 wrap-up.
So the fans have been waiting for
since
we last did it. Did you do your Spotify wrap?
No.
I wasn't.
No one do that?
No. I think everyone did it last year, didn't they?
It's fast time,
and then no one cared.
Oh, okay. I did this year as well. It's quite interesting.
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No one else did it. Want to talk about
my Taylor Swift songs and Justin.
Yeah. Danny's told me about trying to keep this on track.
All right.
Bitcoin price, $43,016.
Oh, we're back up above 43,000 again this morning.
Yeah.
Last episode, it was 42,779. And the highest.
I'm hoping that's just taking a bit to load.
Always catches me out there. I was like, why is that?
What? It's a slow reaction.
Yeah.
And then the high since last episode is 43,304. So.
Back up at 43.
We're back, baby.
Yeah, it was a weird dip. It looks like nothing came of it. As in, like, no one said, okay, it's dipped because of X, Y, and Z. It just kind of...
I had a theory. It's confidence in interest rates. That's why I thought it was purely macro. Because it looked like the Fed were... Are we going to slash interest? Maybe they're not going to be cut. Now everyone's like, they're definitely getting cut. Money for everyone.
They were not cut.
That's what I think it is.
We had this conversation last week.
Yeah, and I'm right.
I sent you the charts, remember? No, you didn't. Matrix.
So let's not go into it. You said you were going to send Matrix. Nothing to do with that.
I've sent you the Matrix.
You did
about
not send
a month
me
ago. I'll send you it again.
Anyway, now. Nope. There's no Matrix.
Sorry, Mikey, I just punched the microphone. Right, first point. FASPA, or FASB, has officially adopted the fair value accounting for Bitcoin for fiscal years beginning after December 15th, 2024.
This, I'm going to say, is some of the biggest news of the year.
What?
Putting it out there.
As an account.
Was it stamp for FASPA? Financial accounting's...
Fair value account.
No, FASPA, but it's just the UK accounting body.
Financial accounting even standards exactly. board.
No, it's just himself an accountant.
That's the American
one. It's the US one.
Yeah, it's the US
UK one.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
I did think about it.
That's what I meant.
Start great looking for an accountant.
there's a few acronyms. Everyone's like, what does it mean? Because it's not the one we use. Like
Financial Accounting Standards Board.
Yeah.
People listen.
So there's a few different standards, but we use UK GAAP, and there's different ones for different countries, but they're all pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So anyway, before the acronym...
I'm sorry for it.
It's just like IT do acronyms, don't they? They love acronyms.
Oh, yeah.
Where the real world, real people, real actual living adults don't bother with them.
The grown-ups.
So I don't know what most of the acronyms stand for, because I'm a human being.
You just shorten one of those, don't you, like, to spready.
Yeah, acronyms. Anyway, so this is massive. So if the ETFs are like a doorway to corporate involvement with Bitcoin, this is the key. That's how big it is.
I'm gonna throw
a no, well, wait, let me finish.
Go on.
Okay, this is the key.
In a minute, I did say in a minute.
In the US, so in the corporate world in the US at the moment, Bitcoin is treated as an intangible asset. And in the US, they didn't have the same fair market value that we could apply in the UK. So in the US, if an intangible asset, if I'm right in thinking, you would have to value it either the value you bought it at or revalue it at its lower value at that time. So it would never go up, basically. So even if Bitcoin was valued at 40K, if you bought it at 20, and it went down at one point to 15, you'd have to have it at 15. So on a balance sheet basis, it's not that great to have it on your balance sheet, because you're literally like, oh.
So it can never go above what you bought it.
You don't have any of the upside. Yeah. So in any currency, you normally revalue it. Your balance sheet looks better because most assets you revalue, and you put any profit or loss on your P&L, right? But in the US, they couldn't do that until now. It's basically adding common sense to the accounting practices of America. You already had it in the UK in intangible assets if there was enough of an active market for an intangible asset, which Bitcoin definitely qualifies for. So you could already revalue and put in the benefit of it. But obviously in the corporate world, this is massive for America.
This is great, but my curveball thing still stands.
It's not a curveball.
It will be. You just said that helps with the ETF and stuff, but actually,
No. The ETF is a gateway, right? But this is for people mainly self-custodying or holding their own Bitcoin.
This is because
the ETF is like exposed. This is what Bitcoin could be.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
if you're holding your own, this is the way to do it.
Anybody buying the ETF, this wouldn't even matter to them.
No.
Because they would just buy it as a share within a fund. So
yes, you are completely right, and you would be able to reevaluate it separately. Anyway.
Yeah.
But this...
So that would make this...
That's like a little... No, it's not redundant at all. You're self-custodying Bitcoin.
Self-custodying. I said if you're buying the Bitcoin ETF, let's say BlackRock, for example, as a company, this would be redundant in that sense.
If you're like Tesla, who are holding...
I know that.
But so it's not clear. Highline.
Well, it is, because you said before it changes the ETF, but it doesn't...
It doesn't. All right, that's...
Call it the key to the ETF doorway.
That's a doorway. All right, I was trying to think of an analogy. It's like...
multiple doors in different directions.
It's an analogy for like opening a door, a bit of exposure. Yeah. I get your point on the ETF, but for self-custodying American companies, which might be a better way than the ETFs anyway... So this now allows you to revalue properly, and it's common sense.
It's great. It's great.
It's good news.
Do you believe there's corporations that have been holding back buying Bitcoin due to this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because why would
you? Because it looks bad on the...
Yeah. Exactly. There's the only downside of holding Bitcoin on your balance sheet. Like
Only until you sell, because once you realise the gain...
This means you don't have to sell.
Yeah, no.
But you'd have to be timing issues.
But not everyone's Michael Saylor in MicroStrategy. So not everyone's going to...
Now they can be.
Hold for it. No, but previously, we know ourselves, companies buy Bitcoin for the balance sheet. We have companies that buy Bitcoin for the balance sheet at all different levels.
UK ones, fine, but in America, I presume, would be off-putting.
And I don't think any of them have ever thought in a sense of like, oh, it looks bad on the balance sheet. They just sell it when they need to.
How do you know that? What are you basing that on?
Well, when they come and sell it randomly because they need cash.
So we don't serve any Americans.
No, UK comp sale.
But UK's different. This is America.
I'm talking about people and companies in general. They wouldn't necessarily be thinking it looks bad on the balance sheet. They're thinking about the actual money. They don't care what it looks like on a report, realistically.
Have you surveyed
a public
US
company?
Public company might be different.
Public company might be different.
Yeah.
Well, smaller companies that don't need to report.
Anyone with investors that has to report a balance sheet, your balance sheet's not going to look as good until now.
To an investor, you just explain the situation. They don't understand that. It's not something that
would be unexplainable.
Yeah, but you'd have it in a note on the accounts.
Now it makes...
We have notes on our accounts to explain certain things, don't we?
Are you not seeing this as a positive?
I am seeing it as positive, but I don't think it's as big as... I don't think it's going to create a
world
of businesses from the US all putting Bitcoin on the balance sheet now. I don't think it will do that. I just don't think it will.
I think it will.
Because it's got accountants in the title though, isn't it? Really? You're getting a bit excited.
I think the ETF will be more... There'll be more people putting it on via the ETF than there will from doing it themselves.
Yeah, probably, because it might be slightly easier.
Yeah.
Have we agreed to disagree then?
Yeah, I completely disagree with everything.
Why do you think it's taking this long for them to do it?
Just takes a long time to change the codes.
It's still not going to be done until December.
No, okay. But you can start reporting it now.
Yeah, it kicks in December 15th.
Mm. Yeah. Mm.
Anyway, great news.
It's good positive news.
Maybe
big news.
I'll pack the fireworks away. I'll tell the parade stand down guys. Danny doesn't think it's as big as
It's not the key to the ETF
doormat, maybe.
For the doormat.
The key to the ETF door doesn't work.
The door
analogy.
So we'll step by it as we go.
I was envisaging some sort of opening up to corporate world. This is like a separate door.
Yeah, they're in both.
This is a different door entirely.
Yeah. There's two separate routes. One's
but going to the same place.
No, and this is a
separate corporate building. America
separate buildings.
They're not even in the same category.
Wow. All right,
But they're in the same country, though.
Same
America.
City.
Doesn't have to think about something. One does. Mm. It's completely separate.
All right, anyway, it's a move in the right direction. And the ETFs, it's completely unrelated.
It's a positive.
So it's not a door at all.
It's a positive.
Okay, good point. Thanks, Annie.
Okay. Done? Okay. Ledger issues. So Ledger identified and removed malicious version of the Ledger Connect kit.
Yeah, cool. Next one. Not really that bothered.
Oh, well, you start. Did you start it?
Yeah, but it's just one of them. Just highlighting everyone if you've got a Ledger and just be careful. There's
Anyone using dApps on Ledger, especially.
It was just dApps, wasn't it? That was to the end.
Yeah.
For people that are not understanding what that is.
What does be careful mean, though?
Both. Decentralized. I'm going to explain. Decentralized apps. You beat me to it.
He's going to explain.
Yeah, he's going to explain. I can't. He's on one today.
For them that don't understand what dApps are, decentralized apps, the point is like you're using your kind of wallet effectively to log in and to do things on certain dApps. So it might be a website that uses something, but you're using your wallet to effectively log in that had like a malicious bit of code that got pushed and submitted by a Ledger employee, but the Ledger employee had left, but he still had access to
the code. Did they confirm that was him?
No, they're saying it wasn't him, and he'd been phished and his account had been compromised, and then they'd done what they'd done, pushed this bit. It was only a bit of JavaScript, was it, I think, as well?
Yeah, it was a JavaScript package.
Is it worrying? I think that can happen.
Well, it spread to all of all the apps and everything. It wasn't
using that Ledger package.
Issue. It was an issue like Ethereum, whatever, everything.
I think the issue we can kind of tie this back to last week's pod, where it was an issue because all these dApps, blind sign, so you don't have to look at the screen to confirm the address. These dApps actually just blind sign if your Ledger's plugged in or whatever. So
this is like what we're talking about with Jack Dorsey's...
Having a screen.
The great looking thing.
Yeah. So actually, Ledger were pushing everyone, make sure you clear sign everything, which is where you check it against the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was basically just injecting a new page where the address, like changing the address you're sending
to. I see the bigger problem as Ledger's corporate governance of allowing an ex-employee.
There was loads of problems with this whole thing. It was a big thing. He didn't take his access away when he left the company.
Yeah.
And they admitted that and they said, sorry, we'll be better and stuff. But yeah, that's a really bad one, something like that. But then there was throughout it, like he had full access to change something in GitHub, push it straight to live, which rolled it out to every dApp out there and all the other, and Ledger Connect.
Mm-hmm. I think it was live for 5 hours, was it?
It was live for many hours. Basically, the whole industry was just saying, if you use dApps for anything, just don't use them. Right. Just until this is resolved, don't use anything. And it's like, okay, well, that means I can't do things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't transact and do stuff. They did say that Ledger Live wasn't an issue and you could still transact and send.
Their message was just don't do things.
Yeah, that was the whole industry was just saying that.
Touch it.
Just don't do anything.
Don't do anything
until it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying leave it like 24 hours just to be sure and things and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but that's... because of the smart contract world that it's created, and they've all used this same library, or a lot of them have used the same library. So it was a cautious don't do anything because you don't know if the apps you do use that library.
Mm-hmm.
A few misplaced steps in 2023 for Ledger. That's not great.
It's not been good. But yeah, just be careful.
TLDR, be careful.
Yep.
Okay. River, they announced River Link to allow for sending Bitcoin links via text message.
Is this another mega product?
Is this another coin?
Same
is
this another
sweeping episode?
What a great new product by River.
So, it's not as bad as Coinbase's.
Right.
I'll put that out there.
Nice fancy ad, haven't
it? It is a nice, quite a nice ad. Actually, it has a use. It is useful. And I think it has got a good use case. I think that because we did that, so, you know, got to give ourselves credit for that, haven't we?
How many years ago did we do it?
Give Charlie credit for that. we did it back in, it was 2014, 2015, and we actually built a whole product around it for people that don't know called BitGreet, which you can Google and still find a little bit on out there.
Cointelegraph have got an article, haven't they?
They've got a lovely article.
And a nice little image of you, dressed in a Santa suit.
But we did it slightly different, but the process is the same. But it's good. So for people that don't know, River have created something so you can log into your River account, basically get a URL that, say you want to send $50 worth of Bitcoin to somebody. That URL you can then share with anyone, so you can they're saying about texting to people. You can WhatsApp it. So it's basically just any communication you can send to somebody. Once they receive that, they just click that link, and that will take them to River's website and a page, and they can either log into their River account and get that Bitcoin sent straight to their River account.
Go by Mikey.
Did you say still have the domain?
There's a picture of him.
Or you can see Google Images is probably the best.
There's a picture of him there.
Or you can, actually the better bit of this is you can send it to an external wallet. I'm trying to explain to the listeners that you guys are chipping in, laughing at things on the screen. Or you can send, so the good bit about River's side is you can actually send to an external wallet from there. So you would click land on the River webpage, put your Bitcoin address in or Lightning address or whatever, and then click redeem that $50.
So it's not like Coinbase, but you have to be a Coinbase customer as well.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Nakamoto's message that's how Brian got him with the $100?
Yeah. So he got him the Lightning thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's a good, I think it is, it has a quite a handy little use case. So if you don't know someone's Lightning address or Bitcoin address, you can just...
If it had a good use case, why did we stop doing it?
So we did it...
Too early.
We did it different. So what I'm trying to explain there, they've done it so you can just share a link and with someone. We did it from kind of like doing the same thing, and you shared a link in the same way, but you give them, it was like a birthday card or a Christmas card. Mm. And we did like full Christmas cards, so in an email.
Yeah.
And then they'd just get the Christmas card and say Happy Christmas to whoever name on. Click the link, take you to the BitGreek website, and you'd be able to redeem whatever Bitcoin was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same technical process, but we wrapped it up into more of a gift exercise, which is something we might bring back at some point and something we've had conversations on. The honest answer, we got rid because there was no traction.
Mm-hmm.
So I think timing is...
You think the name was terrible as well?
No, this is a good lesson for timing. I'll come back to the name in a second. This is a good lesson for timing. We did it. Coinbase already did this. So we did it back in 2014-15. Coinbase already did the send to your friend via text. And like this thing, they've relaunched again. Mm-hmm. They'd already done this. And it's not something new in the industry. And a lot of people have done this in the past. It's never stuck because people have never used it. People then pushed for the affiliate side. So it's basically an affiliate link. And you get money from the affiliate link. So of course, everyone used affiliate links instead of using this. Now affiliate links are starting to be clamped down on, but then you can't, like, for example, in the UK, you're not allowed to do that anymore. People are going to use this method to be able to just send money to people and do it that way, and it's a way to refer people back and forwards. So
I still don't know if it's easier than just asking someone for their Bitcoin address or their Lightning address.
I think it is. I always quite liked it. You could just send one, like, that you wouldn't...
But you still have to go get your Bitcoin address and put it in there.
Yeah, you still have to go and get your address.
What, to actually
share it with that person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't I just say, give me a Bitcoin address?
But it's how gifts work, isn't it? Like,
no, I get, like, that's what it made sense when it was...
Yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah,
it's
not what River and Coinbase are doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
River and Coinbase are just like, oh, I owe this guy $20, send them this link and they can go and claim it back when they feel like it, which is fine. It's kind of...
They do it in their own time at that point, can't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It does have a use case, and I agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the gift side is something that we might look to bring back again. It'd be the third time we'll bring it back if it...
Back to what, flogging
like,
dead horse.
Yeah, like deja vu of Facebook trying to launch.
Yeah. This is a thing, like...
Yeah,
this is us.
And we always mock them. And
let's rebrand and launch again.
This is like the second time. It might even be the third time Coinbase have tried to bring this back. I'm not sure. But they've done this before. River are a newer company, so they've never done it before. But there's other companies out there that have already been doing this for years and they've done it.
It definitely seems like a play for an affiliate, kind of get signups, isn't it? Because even in Rivers, like, you can go to external wallet, but at the top it's like River, no fees.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, you can send
that to people that don't have any Bitcoin, right?
This is exactly the Bitcoin.
It would encourage them to go, well, let's explore this. Because I've got some weight for me here.
This is exactly the BitGreed process. The problem back then, we didn't have Lightning back then, so that kind of killed BitGreed. Okay. It didn't, because it was cheap on chain. It cost next to nothing.
Mm.
But we launched it in sort of, it was Christmas 2014, was it?
Mm.
So it was like bear market kicking in. 2015 was like one of the worst bear markets you've ever been through.
When I joined.
That's probably about, it's the worst bear market I've ever been through. And then we relaunched it in 2018, was it? 2018-19?
I think it was 19.
Which was also bear market time.
Mm-hmm. Didn't we launch it within the Coin Corner website as well?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a separate product.
Yeah. We had it as a separate one originally, and then in the Coin Corner website second. So it never got used. So we got rid of it because we were maintaining, looking after something that never really got used.
Just dust off the old code, put it back in.
Well, that's the scenario at the minute. We have all the old designs and we've got all the things. It's kind of the process is there. The code's already there. It's just kind of like, should we bring it back? We don't know. Like, it's great. Everyone jumped on Coinbase and River and said, oh, this is amazing. How many people use it is a different question, I think. That's what we're...
I suppose this time it'd be Lightning enabled.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know.
I think for the card, the gift thing, I think is... Well, we've done that with the...
At what point do you go, right, this isn't going to work? Is it is it after two or is it after three?
That's what we did. I don't know.
It's a question for you, isn't it?
But maybe timing is everything. And this time...
I'm trying to think how many people actually send e-cards anyway.
Well, that was the thing we found, because we were looking like competitors, weren't we? E-card companies that send like an e-card and put a gift... They put gift cards in for like an Amazon gift card and things.
Yeah.
And there was some quite big, or looked big, companies out there doing it, but none of them, like, I couldn't think of one now.
No, physical stamps are still always win. People like the physical, don't they? Which works well with the bulk card.
Yeah, the bulk cards are a better gift-giving thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just, I don't know, maybe we bring it back and try again. Maybe we just watch how Coinbase and Rivers goes and we'll see how popular that is.
I don't know. I mean, it'd be kind of depressing to bring it back again.
But would it be more depressing to watch them succeed and us be like, oh.
That's fair point.
Look forward, guys, not back.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it, see how it goes. Yeah. It's
Better than Coinbase's.
Yeah, it's better than Coinbase's.
Just throw that in that. We still like Coinbase.
Yeah. Right, next one. Vanek, CEO, Jan Vanek. He's got a company named after himself.
Sorry, I didn't say the name was Charlie, so you're abusing Charlie, that's what it's like.
I knew it was Charlie.
What name would you call it that was better?
Just something along the lines of what Coinbase and River have used.
Oh, Coin Corner.
Coin Corner Link.
Yeah, Coin Corner Link is fine. Bit Greek just sounds like...
That was Charlie's best... That's one of Charlie's proudest things.
I know, he still says that. Yeah. I think last time we spoke to him, he brought that up. The greatest contribution.
Blessing.
He says, when are we bringing it back every time?
Yeah, Ben.
Right. Vanek CEO, Jan Vanek, says it's impossible for me to imagine some other internet store of value will leapfrog Bitcoin. Who's this guy?
The Vanek CEO, you just read it?
Yeah, I know, but what's Vanek?
What's Vanek? Vanek's one of the guys in one of the ETFs.
Okay.
It's always just like, okay, same old,
sure,
same old.
Yeah,
it's like we've known that.
They have to say this as well if they've sort of been ETFs.
I think they're more coming out bullish, though, the way they are. And obviously, we'll come to the advert in a minute as well of Bitwise.
But, no, we've got to get through this faster.
It is still like a question that newbies would ask, like BD team. They would say, you know, the next Bitcoin could be like, I've missed the boat with this Bitcoin, but the next Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And the flat answer is that there is no other Bitcoin. There never will be. And I suppose when more people say that, especially in people at respected positions say it, and there's more weight to it, I suppose.
But I'm kind of respected.
Yeah, it's like that, isn't it? Or he's a CEO, and we all know
this is a big call.
A lot of CEOs, absolute
idiots.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
Wait until we come on to Danny's tweet later.
He's got that short.
Basically. So I suppose more people say it's the right message that I would also agree with, but yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. ETF applicant Bitwise, they released a Bitcoin ad featuring the most interesting man in the world. Who's that?
Like this.
Also very much like this advert.
Yeah.
I'm not against it either.
There's been some class adverts recently.
This is better than Coinbase's.
Coinbase's Coinbase's was brilliant. This is also brilliant.
And you know why this is better than Coinbase's, and I'll talk to you that in a minute.
Look for
we've got no sound. We're all watching a video.
No, it's
just are you going to play the sound? Cool. So
legendary.
Nice and short.
I think he's better.
Cool
than
guy.
Coinbase, because it is short. But me and Dave have had this conversation with people in the past, and Dave, you actually said this yesterday as well. And he knows
we've had first-hand experience with this. Is very, very applicable.
So people have said to us, so wealthy people going to going to a tennis club and all this, and hanging out with all your wealthy mates, and they want something cool to talk about. So they want to be involved in Bitcoin. So they'll want to buy a little bit of Bitcoin, be involved in it, just so they can say to the mates, oh yeah, I've got some Bitcoin, and they kind of use it as a talking point and a bragging point. Yeah. And this is exactly that.
I get it. No, it's not, because it's like I don't know who was speaking to, some wealthy individual or friends of wealthy individuals. They're like, right, they've got a vanilla portfolio that they can just have a lot of their wealth in. But like, it's boring. It's nothing to talk about. And it is when you're at these social things. Oh, I've got a bit of Bitcoin. It's like that.
It comes to a talking point at a social event where these wealthy people are. And this has happened just once. This has happened multiple times in the last 12 months of us having conversations with this sort of crowd.
They're just bored.
And it just wants something a bit edgy.
But I suppose it's still got that vibe. I know we've been in it a long time, and like, but it is still new to a lot of people. And if the more these people learn about it, I suppose they can carry quite interesting conversations about why they're into Bitcoin.
And then that would be quite powerful.
So you're saying it's the perfect advert?
Exactly that. This advert screams exactly them conversations me and Dave have had with these people.
Yeah.
I think this advert's great as well, is because it's that guy is a meme, and memes are like that generation.
Is he? I didn't know that.
I'm not even aware of the guy out there. Yeah.
Is he really? Is he a meme?
Yeah. Oh, it's actually a...
He was from an old ad campaign beer back in the day.
Recognizing.
Oh, not know that. So this is next level.
This is next level. So, yeah.
Most interesting man in the world.
Oh, so that's the point.
Oh my God.
I recognize him now.
Yeah, it's that guy.
And he's called the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah. He's like, you can type it. It's like, I don't always do this, but...
Oh, so it's more of a meme. Maybe we've completely missed
the point. We've missed that. But our point is probably exactly relevant.
He's still printing.
No, I don't always do commercials, but when
the
I do,
people aren't going to get this.
No, so yeah. No, but it's...
Wealthy people aren't going
to get it. Oh, it's multi-layered. Yeah. I'm worried.
That's why it attracts the wealthy people.
From a generational point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, we look like boomers there for not picking up without a meme.
Mike, you just pull up OK Boomer meme.
You'll probably see that guy's films.
Yeah.
How did you not recognise that? They literally said in the tweet,
I'm not a meme guy.
I didn't really recognise the meme, to be honest, either.
I didn't recognise him, but I knew it must have been a meme based on interesting man.
Yeah, well, sure you did.
Yeah,
you're so intelligent that you thought it must be.
Well, no, otherwise I just admit I'd recognised it. I'm being truthful.
God, this is embarrassing for all of you.
But it was always surrounded by, like...
So he's done
like models and stuff. Yeah, it's like, a whole... whole range of them.
Imagine being that guy. His adverts
are just
like... Okay.
But it does fit perfectly. Like the setting they've put him in at like a fancy restaurant club sort of thing. Mm. And how they're dressed and everything. It's like Bitcoin's interesting. And it's like, that's a talking topic for the wealthy.
That's honestly, in my opinion, a brilliant ad. Mm.
Yeah.
So simply. So sure.
I know.
It's
so many impactful. So many messages.
Yeah. Two brilliant ads in a month.
Though. Way better than Coinbase's.
Are we going to see similar things from all the ETF applicants, do you think? Is it now a marketing campaign against each other?
That's part of the strength of the ETF. Yeah. They have to get volume through to make it successful to get their fees in.
Have you ever seen an advert for an ETF?
Have you ever kept your eye on one?
No, but I've never heard of a company doing an advert for an ETF.
YouTube ETF advert, see what comes up.
See what other ETF adverts there is. Is it this the first time they've ever done something like this? I don't know.
I'm not sure how they would advertise normally, though. It's normally, is it not like investor brochures, like given to
companies,
CSPs and bits and pieces? It wouldn't be a YouTube advert, would it?
There's a Van Eck one.
Wadmo ETF.
That's just about Van Eck, isn't it, Rosie?
So they put them on...
Just quick.
Is that like an airport screen one?
Yeah,
see, that's where they put it.
Where'd you get that from?
I'll take him on.
This is from 7 years ago. It's only got 214 views.
Yeah, but look, it's not an interesting. And why would you want to do this? It's highlighting to me that's where they advertise airports. It kind of makes sense.
But that's exactly my point there. The Bitcoin one is like everyone's all over it.
Yeah, because it's on Bitcoin Twitter. So
have they never really done the... Is this new for them?
But being on Bitcoin Twitter isn't an ETF market, really, is it? Bitcoin Twitter's full of maxis.
I don't know.
Buying Bitcoin at exchange.
Michael Saylor's on Bitcoin Twitter. He's a CEO of a multi-billion-dollar public company. I know it's a different...
You're on Bitcoin Twitter. Come on, hurry up, because I'm starving.
Come on.
Right.
You're just starving.
Well, I know, because we've got the potluck, so I'm really excited about it. I'm not. Right, well, that's your problem.
None of us are.
Are you not?
What?
They're not excited about the little luncheon.
We're having a Jacob's join for the listeners, where everyone brings in a dish, but I think I just got Ross to buy some quiches yesterday. But the spread looks amazing.
I know.
Someone's made a Christmas tree out of little picky bits.
Oh, that thingy looks really good. The Yule log.
Oh, yeah. I think Summer did that. That looks amazing. That tastes good as well because she's a very good baker.
Yes.
I've got issues with the Christmas tree, Dave.
He's got beef.
Go on.
Janet asked me to bring in crudités, and then she has just brought in her own plate of crudités, which is the Christmas tree. So I spent £12 on celery, sweet corn, carrots, peppers, all sorts yesterday, and she's just brought it in anyway.
Okay.
So I'll support you.
I've
got dips still. So.
We can all refuse to announce.
We're not hard for bring our own out.
What did you contribute?
Italian and Spanish meat.
Oh, you did go?
Yeah.
I was just offering out quiche.
I was one that wanted to join. Yeah, Dave's was my backup quiche if you forgot my
spare quiche if you want to join.
I had coleslaw. I've already done it.
You brought coleslaw.
Coleslaw.
I got the homemade coleslaw. You made the herb.
No more.
He said about homemade coleslaw. I was like, why would I do that?
It wouldn't. It would never be as good, would it?
No.
Why would people do it?
Yeah.
Sure. Mm. I don't even like coleslaw. Okay.
Because we've got small pots
anyway, coleslaw. Sorry. That's, yeah.
Right. So
Danny wouldn't have let that happen.
What?
Like that absolute...
What? A little segue. A little segue.
Beyond the script.
Yeah, he would have been tutting by now.
Okay. Right, back on script then. Grayscale CEO says ETF approval would unlock about $30 trillion worth of advised wealth for Bitcoin.
Yeah.
What's advised wealth?
Saw that last night.
I think this one's a bit of a
fund.
It's what?
It's some people's funds, isn't it? Advised wealth.
And this one's a bit of a meh, similar to what we said before.
Right, well, why are we starring them if we're not?
But as in the sense of like the Grayscale CEO.
Right,
of course he's going to say that, and I also don't carry much credibility with him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Cool. It's funny to watch them all come out and say all these lines.
Yeah, is it just creating FOMO because he needs more volume for his fund?
They all just are to gain the news themselves to push their own company.
It's like
I might just say that as well. Put it out there.
Why don't you? They could be in next.
I'm not allowed.
Okay, but I think you're going to get more and more of it. Yeah. So then it's always going to be like.
Let's not star the next.
You're seeing that some people say, "Oh yeah, it's going to be $1 million Bitcoin next year." And it's like they're just saying it at the minute because they want to get in the news and get their company in the news and do that. And it's like we could all do that and say that, but then hindsight for me, it's one of them. I think historically, you look back and you can see all these other people that are saying, "Oh yeah, it's going to be $1 million next year." Look back at all their previous predictions. And they're all just as wacky and ridiculous and stupid, and they're all just saying it just to get themselves in the media.
Okay. Well, moving on.
Don't believe what you hear in the media.
Right, US court approves settlements against Binance, paying $2.7 billion to the CFTC.
So this went quiet, didn't it, yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I missed this.
Nobody really said anything. I've not read the full thing. Has anyone else read it?
Probably. No.
What does the CFTC?
It's just one of the departments there, but the...
So this isn't on top of his other fine, is it? Is this just we've approved the fine that he's already getting?
Yeah, I think so. So because I think people were worried that that's the pre-fine, the $4 billion one, that, okay, that's what they've kind of pre-agreed. Then they're going into the detail of sorting that out now.
Right.
And they might turn around and say, actually, we don't agree with this. We're going to do you for more things or do you for X, Y, and Z. But they've agreed
on
this
2.7.
So it's kind of like, okay, that's a start anyway.
Okay.
DOJ and other ones, I think other departments have still got their pieces to come.
Right.
But the plea deal has been agreed by CFTC.
Okay. So it's just a bit of detail on that then.
Just a little update.
It's that it has gone ahead, I guess, is the main thing as well. And it's not, they're going to start coming down and trying to get more or trying to sue for different things.
Okay. Next one, BlackRock filed its third amendment to its EFT application.
Quite a few of them do that yesterday. Quite a few amendments shooting in.
Yep. There was a few.
What are they amending?
This was to do with the cash. I don't know the detail. There was something to do with the cash, but I mean, it's irrelevant at the minute. They're little tweaks.
Are these tweaks off the back of their meetings with the SEC, I assume?
Yeah, just... So every time they're going in, they're having a meeting, they're coming out, they're tweaking something.
I always see it's quite a good sign. If you want the ETFs to happen, the fact that they're still tweaking and modifying them.
And still taking the meetings,
still line of communication, still trying to get it over the line, I suppose.
And the stuff they're tweaking is little insignificant things for the most part. So it's kind of
it's more and more likely to happen almost.
There's nothing major to kick them back on anymore. No. It's just getting everything lined up.
It's like they're working with the SEC.
Yeah, the converse, if you think about it, if they weren't having any conversations with the SEC for the last 6 months and they weren't doing any tweaks, you'd be like, oh, this has gone cold and there's a big roadblock.
Yeah. So yeah, very positive, I think, for... a positive outcome for them being approved, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, last point on the agenda before we go on to the wrap-up is your Your tweet.
Did I see your tweet?
Danny's tweet. I didn't see it last night.
You stopped retweeting mine. I'll stop retweeting yours.
I've screenshot it.
You'll feel the effects. You've not retweeted any of mine in ages.
I have. No. You go on my feed and check.
I screenshot it.
Can I see a pinned tweet?
Oh, sorry, I've got it. Right, Danny, last night.
The audience won't.
Huh?
No one will see it.
But we can.
I'll share it with Mike.
It's not that exciting anyway.
No, it's not that exciting. It's just Danny being a drama queen.
I've decided due to restrictions.
Do you want me to read it?
Sorry, go on. Right. Explain.
Yes, Molly.
Danny Scott, last night. Bit sick of seeing inspirational tweets from people that have clearly never walked the walk. I think I'm going to tweet what it's like to really like to be a CEO and bootstrap a business from to hundreds of millions. Not going to lie, it's going to be a rude awakening.
I know. I did see that, actually.
You didn't like it.
Did I not? I meant to. I didn't mean to.
Right, I hadn't seen it, and then you came over this morning and said, oh no, you sent me an email about it, reminding me, and then you came over to talk to me about it this morning.
Because
should we talk about what's on your list of things you're going to tweet about?
So I'm good. Well, we can do.
I quite like the idea.
He actually asked. So Dave's going to do a counter one to me and moan about me as a CEO.
I will happily do that.
So he's going to do that.
I might follow that one.
My point. I'm sick of seeing like inspirational social influencers, should we call them, or whatever they want to call themselves, where they're tweeting about this is how to run a business, this is how to make 100k in a month's time, this is how to become an expert in this field. It's like these people are not any of, they've never done any of them things they're tweeting and pushing out, and they're just, their influence is trying to get people to
their engagement
engage. Yeah.
But it's your counter argument is going to be almost anti engagement farming.
So I'm going to go at the approach of, I'm going to actually tweet on a daily basis while we're in the office and stuff, of things that I actually have to do in a day that people would maybe not expect a CEO to do. And maybe think a CEO just sits in his big office all day telling everyone what to do. And in reality...
But do you think you're...
Yeah, you have to make your own...
I don't know if you're atypical because you do stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? The granular stuff.
Potentially I'm not.
He does it and then he moans about it. Mm-hmm.
Because I have to do it because nobody else is doing it. But that's the sort of things, as a CEO, you do these things throughout the lifespan of a business because you have to. If you don't, if somebody else is not doing it, it ends up falling onto you and you have to do it. But I'm not going to say I'm going to be complaining about that. I'm going to be showing people, look, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. And if you try as hard as you can, it's not always going to succeed. Things fail, things go wrong. That's life. Shit happens. It's not like all the tweets you see is like the one from last night that I showed you. It was, you know, oh yeah, if you try really hard, it becomes easy, and it's dead easy then to succeed. All you've got to do is hire lots of people and scale.
Are you basically saying it never becomes easy?
It never becomes easy. And maybe that's my experience and other people.
But I don't think it ever should, because it means that you're not doing the right thing. Yeah. If it's easy, it's not worth doing.
I agree. And that's the problem. But then people saying like, oh yeah, like if you're interested in it and you try hard, you'll succeed. And it's like, bullshit. Mm. You will not. 99.9% of people will not.
It's like anti-inspirational.
It's kind of right.
It's reality. It's reality. It's like we know that. I know that from startups and things like that. And maybe other people don't realize that. But like, you know, it's usually like a one in VCs, venture capital companies, when they're investing, they're looking at maybe a one in 10 actually succeed in the ones they invest in and return something valuable to them. Maybe 3 out of 10 will return something that's, okay, there's a little bit of a return, and the rest of them will pretty much either fail or you might be lucky to get your money back. So you're talking like 1 in 10 actually succeeds and does what they're doing, and the 1 in 10's actually probably quite favorable.
Yeah, but they're also talking about like moonshot unicorn type things where they succeed within months.
But that's also only companies.
That's also wrong, right?
And that's also only companies that have gained venture capital money. Yeah. There's millions of companies out there that never get venture capital money, that already fail before they even get to that stage.
And we talked about last week in terms of like Nintendo and the pivots, the great pivots that companies have made to become successful. And there's no overnight successes really.
No.
Like historically.
No.
People might say like VC unicorns in terms of like the Facebooks of the world.
But even that was a long slog to get to where it was. It was.
So there's no, you're not overnight. And it's just all a slog, isn't it?
It's hard work.
It never gets easy. And there's always little bits that you'd be surprised the CEO is doing.
And then people will get a rude awakening when they think, oh, you know, I'm going to run my own company and do this. And then they go and try and do it, and they hit the first barrier of this is hard. It's like, and then
that's where you find out what kind of person they are at that point.
But I also think you can never lose focus on the small things either. Like the small things the stuff you're talking about doing is people might consider the small things, but it sets a precedent to everyone else. terms of what they see you, if you care about that small, tiny thing, everyone else should.
Yeah.
Really.
Always sweat the small stuff. Diary of a CEO.
Benjamin Franklin. Well, Benjamin Franklin said, look after the pennies, pounds look after themselves.
So, yeah, different quote than you.
Well, I'll quote different quote Franklin. You quote Sean Barlow, whatever it's called.
But yeah, no, dude, that is, I agree. Yeah. And that is my mentality. I know a lot of everyone's, that's one of the other things as well. It's like, there's no one path to anything. And everybody's journey is completely different in many different ways. And things like even the team, you read these books, we've done this in the past, you've read books, leadership books and things like that. And I've read so many now that I've realized over time that a lot of them contradict each other. So they might be leaders and like some of these are, billionaire CEOs of successful global companies, and they're all contradicting each other because their experience, this is what works, and the other guy's experience, this is what works, because they both had completely different businesses and different industries and different teams, different people around them. So different things worked in different ways. So there's no one way to do it. So when you're looking for inspirational social influencers and they're tweeting, posting whatever on Instagram, it's just fake. It's made up. It's aimed to try and, I guess, inspire you and encourage you to go and do these things. But then the reality hits when you actually try and do, if you try and do them things.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go at the reality straight from the off.
Look forward to the content.
This is what, I took one this morning, which was
that pissed me off, though.
To Dave come in, this was bad.
I mean, it's like me and you both sweating the small stuff on different scales, though. What did you do? Put the heating on his heater?
So Dave came in and said, did you leave the heating on in the boardroom last night? For one, why would it be my job to turn the heating off in the boardroom?
No, it'd be the minions.
I thought it was left on.
This is my point. This is reality. I have to do this.
I was fuming at someone for leaving it on.
Yeah. So then I said to him, no, I came in this morning and turned it on because nobody's coming and turning it on in the morning.
Boardroom.
It's a premium boardroom for meetings.
The first meeting in the morning.
And it was nice and warm for you.
Yeah, no, but that annoyed
me
because I was like, why?
You're welcome.
No one's in it.
I warmed it up for you.
What planet is that an important thing? Like,
because I spend most of my day in here, which is a painful thing.
I was wearing a hat and jacket.
A million nights, it's not.
Yeah, take a leaf out of my book. Just go put some layers on.
But that's one of my things this morning. And Dave commented on it. And I've got a picture of me turning it on this morning. So
that's what you're going to tweet.
Item, yeah.
So your tweet will be, I pre-warned the boardroom. My comment's going to be, why are you heating an empty room?
So Dave, you're moaned later on. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to reality.
I get your point.
No. Follow me now for reality or realistic CEO tweet.
Because follows just happening.
Yeah.
And we'll get a graphic of that.
There'll be Bitcoin in there a little bit every now and then.
Who has to make my own.
That was another one this morning, actually. I was going to do
it. You had to make your own coffee.
I know. It's terrible.
Kicking off.
But the worst part, I make more coffees for other people. I don't remember the last time you made us one, Dave. Anyway, should we go?
Oh, right. Okay. Right. This time for the Bitcoiners Bitcoin 2023 wrap up.
Flash graphic. Explosion. Explosion. I just showed up his skills here.
Just leave it as that. Don't put anything on.
Me and Zach just doing the sounds and doing
what?
Here come the lasers.
Explosion.
Right.
That's good enough.
Right. An intro, Mike.
Jesus.
Last year we did this, didn't we? For the first time. It seemed to go down
Can we change the categories? Yeah, confession, I haven't got them all. Right. Do you want to run through the categories? Have my problems afterwards.
Right. Most influential Bitcoiner, best book, best podcast, unsung hero, and best coin moment.
Right. Go from it. Let's go around the room.
Okay. Most influential Bitcoiner.
You can go first or the last.
Yes. I don't have one.
Brilliant. Mine was...
I do have one.
My most influential Bitcoiner for 2023 was Daniel Batten. I am enjoying his ESG... newsletters,
and
it's good content. People should sign up. Yeah, basically, I said that last week, but I'm enjoying it. So
I have one.
He's mine.
Do you guys have him as well?
I have I put BlackRock down as the most influential Bitcoin.
I mean,
classic
Larry. In terms of influence in the industry, getting an ETF approved.
Oh, I just realised my one.
Most influential.
Some hero.
Sorry, off that one.
Yeah.
You're probably just completely talking over me.
Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry about it.
Perfect.
I'm going to do a category swap on my one.
If you're talking about actual influence in the industry, I think BlackRock. So Ben and Ethan.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's a fair point.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's not an individual.
No. I don't like it, but it's fair.
Yeah. Mine was going to be, mine kind of crosses over. I'm hoping that mine's not the same as yours. I've not looked at that. But Joe Nakamoto.
Oh, did you do that? I think you did that last year.
I've gone for another category.
I wonder which one.
I have unsung. Yeah, that was mine. So I would have him as unsung hero slash most influential because I think the content he's doing and going out there, actually physically going to a lot of these countries and talking to people and being actively involved in the local communities, that's content and information that you just don't get to see. And
it's shown the real adoption in these countries, first or lack of adoption.
I do like his videos.
I think,
I like his travel vlog type thing.
He's doing stuff that not many other people will do. And he does it with Paco.
Paco, well, he must be the most friendliest, approachable person because he just gets strangers just to talk and do these transactions.
It's not so much confidence.
Like, is it confidence or is it a willingness?
Some level, yeah.
I think it's both.
Confidence as well, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be confident to do that.
Yeah, I suppose it is. But yeah, part of me thinks I would just be like, if it was ever me trying to do those videos, I'd be like, it'd come across more aggressive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
getting the police.
Bitcoin. like angry.
It's
being approachable. Very approachable.
I'll give you 10, you give me 20 back.
It'll look like a fan of mug, basically, of Bitcoin.
I agree. I had him as my unsung hero because he's been, he's done Central America, South America, Africa, Caribbean.
He's been persistent
for a few years.
Bear market. There's been a bad bear market. He's been very persistent in doing that and doing it like not for himself as well. This is,
Also, like he gets, when he's been on panels or presenting on some of these conferences and people give him stick for being working for Cointelegraph. The guy, personally, he's principled. I mean, because I think I saw, was it Stacey something?
Yeah.
Give him a hard time, but it's just like, give him a break. Are they?
Yeah.
I don't know, I think that was this year where she was giving him a hard time.
It was,
I was at a conference and I was like, give the guy a break. Look at the content.
I think he just brings a more realism of like, you always hear, Bitcoin's being adopted in this African country and just like, you don't really know, but he's actually been there, gone to the meetups. Seeing how they're using it, if they even are using it,
show that the realistic side of it, and then you can improve on that. Because if you're just showing the sunshine and rainbows all the time, you think there's nothing to improve on. Same as the CEO, social influencers being idiots and talk about sunshine and rainbows. It's not real.
So is your most influential, and he was your unsung.
He's my unsung. Yeah,
he was going to be both of mine for that. So I've kind of got him.
Going to be both of yours. I give him most influential and unsung hero.
Yes.
You couldn't think of two different people.
I didn't want to.
Quiet, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to. Zach probably got better with the BlackRock side for the influential.
Nailed it.
That has been the biggest influence to the industry this year, probably. Without a doubt.
Okay. That's all mine was better, but I'm gonna think that.
My unsung hero was Bitcoin Palace in UK for
the work
No, so was mine. Freddie New.
Yeah.
Well, one single person.
Yeah,
not head of collective group.
Head of policy. No, but it's head of Bitcoin policy. You say who's the head of policy? Freddie New. He wins. I've just made it a bit clearer.
Well,
if you've got, we've got one medal to award,
but
one medal to award, it goes to Freddie. Surely.
I put on some hearings.
Okay,
for the team.
All right. So yeah, we're the same on that.
I kind of agree with that one as well.
Okay.
Of course, okay.
All right, then. I disagree.
So is that those two categories done?
Yeah.
Best book, do that one. Because this is the most...
What's Freddie been doing? If people don't know who he is, I'm trying to explain what he's been doing.
Go on.
Just tweeting loads of content. Well, I actually... So I subscribe to Bitcoin Policy UK newsletter as well. I'm on a newsletter signing endeavor, and I think people should, because that gives you updates in terms of what they've been doing.
So what is the Bitcoin Policy UK?
It's a lobbying group, really, to make sure that the interests of Bitcoin are at the forefront of political decisions. The UK could be a hub of Bitcoin and Bitcoin adoption if the agendas are put to the forefront of the right people, I suppose. They're also looking at mining sustainability products and policy in general.
Yeah. So I think one of the big positives for me is they're trying to do it from Bitcoin, not crypto. So they're doing it as a Bitcoin focus and trying to help it.
Certainly,
educate that.
We are seeing the other policy, yeah. The crypto policy UK, right?
Brian Armstrong's new one of, I'm just going to donate $1 million to this company. Mm.
It's not as easy as that, Brian. It's
just,
it's not just about throwing dollar at things. Well, you should learn that.
We learned that from SBF, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know?
It's about people putting in the legwork, because the right people, making sure people have got understanding, like Freddie knew, and the team.
But Brian needs to push it through crypto, because then in crypto, just Bitcoin.
That's right.
So, okay. Yeah. So it's good. That's why I do like about the difference, mm-hmm. then putting the effort and time in to do that.
Right. Best book. Let's hear it. If you've picked 50 Cent, I'm leaving.
I'll let you guys go through the book first.
Why do you want to do your book at the end?
I have one just to wind you up, but I'm just going to check and not get any other.
Wind me up.
Mine is Hidden Repression, Alex Gladstein.
I'd be on board with that. That was a brilliant book.
Back to back Gladstein books for me. I was trying to think what my best book is, and then this was like one of the only ones I just kind of read.
He writes
within a day or so.
He writes
such an easy read.
Such an approachable way for what could be considered quite a difficult subject.
I think it's quite, shocking and a really good insight.
Do you remember afterwards we were on such a hate for the IMF?
Yeah.
And the work we just wanted to bring.
Massive insight into the IMF and the World Bank and how they kind of are exploiting these lesser off countries with getting them into, massive lodge of debt, mm-hmm. and then enforcing certain policies which are only there to kind of help the IMF and keep them in spiraling.
If you read that and then see what's happening in Argentina, it sheds a different light on it.
Yeah. So that's my book of the year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The cover's not good. It's not the cover of the year.
I like that. I like that cover.
I thought Mike had accidentally zoomed into it.
No.
I realised
it looks like
from a design point of view.
Do you not like that?
It's triggering.
No. Yeah, but it's triggering. That's good though. You don't want to cover this blank.
It annoys me how close the text is to the edge.
Yeah, no, I loved that cover when I saw it.
Is it on Audible? I haven't actually seen it.
Hopefully.
It might be.
I'll have to check.
It is very good. With the stuff in Argentina lately, you kind of make the pathways of
I even think did I not lend you this? Someone's got my copy.
No, I don't read physical books.
No, but I even think you could read this.
I'd
read this.
Yeah.
Too busy turning
you
heaters
on. You need to hire someone to read to you, don't you?
I know, yeah. That's what I do.
If it's not on Audible, I think.
That's Audible is.
Yeah.
Literally.
Doesn't look like it is on Audible.
No, I think he did a three-part pod with Peter on it.
Oh,
giving you all the highlights.
There's lots of graphs on it.
So.
Yeah, good book. Everyone should read that.
I would like to, I need it on Audible. Yeah.
Right, Molly, what was your book?
Yeah, it's quite a lot of long.
My book, so not Bitcoin, my book and my podcast are not Bitcoin related, but they kind of are.
I don't think they have to be.
Okay, that's good. But no, I feel like
they kind of want them to be.
You just say that because his is not.
I feel like they are related because it kind of, I think, fits in with the Bitcoiner mindset.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So my best book that I read this year was a book called Ultra Process People by Chris Van Tolkien. He's UK. TV doctor. Well, he's a real doctor, but he's a TV doctor as well. You guys, he's a twin. Twin doctor. But yeah, it was basically a book that looked at the way like big food industry and the fact that everything that people are eating these days is processed, and it's a lot to blame for health conditions and like people's mental health, physical health. It looks into it's not just about the food though, it's about economics and like the history of food and the science of food and basically how the big organizations are manipulating everything. So it's kind of like got that conspiracy mindset that us Bitcoiners love. But this is about big food instead of big banks.
Yeah.
Dave, you look like you would hate.
I'm not a conspiracy guy.
There's no conspiracy in this. This is just science and facts.
Molly just had a conspiracy mindset. That's what I was disagreeing with.
Oh, I think some of the industry are like, but
it's the kind of like, oh,
it's not the mainstream narrative.
Conspiracy myself.
Is it something else for me to worry about if I read that book?
Absolutely.
About what I eat? Yeah. Because I don't need that.
Yeah.
I've read that one as well. And it is a good book.
Change the way you look at everything.
It's a very good book.
Have I got time in my life to start worried about the bread I'm eating?
I mean,
the answer is no.
Should, Dave, otherwise your life's going to be shortened a lot and you won't have that much time.
There's loads of variables that will shorten my life.
The worst one, if you wanted to talk about worrying,
I don't.
Was which one was?
If you want to go
the
worry,
I want to go the other way. Me and Jessica very much.
I like that.
The hands off approach.
Yeah. Fatal Conveniences. That's not my favorite book of the year, but Fatal Conveniences follows on from.
Sounds like it would be good.
But, so that one is like
convenience food that's unhealthy.
Yeah, but not that's just fatal. Foods. It's like everything, like
microplastics
like stuff you wash your clothes with and things like that, and how the fabrics.
It's all societal manipulation, which is very in line with a lot of it playing on my.
I feel like it doesn't apply to me. unmanipulatable.
Read it and find out.
And you, I would say, put you in there.
Okay, good pick.
Honestly,
if it's your book of the year, I'll read it.
Yeah, it came out this year. It's enough.
I think I did.
We should all commit to read each other's books.
I think I did that last time. Yeah, really.
Did you?
I'll read it.
Last year was Atomic Habits.
Oh, no, I read that before you.
Yeah.
We need to commit to read everything.
Yeah, fine.
Me and Danny have both read it.
I can't read it. I can't dismiss it until I've read it. Like the Wim Hof book.
It's actually a very good book, that one, and it's a good insight into processed food and things.
Okay.
I might have done the actual year.
Right. I commit to reading that.
Oh.
Same.
Okay. Aww, okay.
And then if we hate it,
it might be our book of the year next year.
We'll bring it up here.
Okay.
Jump to mine now.
No, you can have mine first.
Oh,
there's only one book this year I read that is absolutely harrowing. And I tried to read
It's not harrowing book of the year.
I tried to. No, but it's
should
like.
Should I tell Mikey what this is so he can get on the screen?
No, sorry. It's called Let's Not Go to the Dogs Tonight by Alexandra Fuller. And I never couldn't. Yeah, you saw me trying to read it on the plane.
Oh.
It's on. Oh my God.
You finished it.
I finished it.
Oh.
And then I tried to get. So I've never met anyone else that read it. It's harrowing. And I was literally. This chapter 6, I kept having to take a break from.
On the way to Dubai.
And from Dubai. I kept having to go, right, I need a breather. I need a rest.
Kept putting the book down on the flight to Dubai.
So it's about her family growing up in Rhodesia as it changes to Zimbabwe.
So this is what he was doing where we was on our way to Dubai to go meet with the regulators and the banks. And
Someone contact me that's also read it so I can prepare.
I've
had this thing with it. I've had this thing in me. I can't tell anyone because no one else has read it. So... It's just
had this small African child in you for a while.
Oh my God. I was literally having like flashbacks. It's so good because I've got small kids
African
as well.
His childhood.
No, but
it's just a story.
It's a true story.
That's horrible.
Her real life growing up in that environment. And I was just like, Jesus. So that was mine. It still gives me nightmares. And it took me absolutely ages to read it because I kept having to put it down.
And
anyone on YouTube, just put in the comments that they've read it. And I'll DM you because we can talk about it.
Sounds like a great read.
I tried to get my family to read it.
I don't know how
to follow it. And what are you going to say, 50 Cent?
No, I don't know how I follow that now because I feel like that's a bit like, ugh.
That's a hard follow.
Which is made to reading it. So
set the tone down.
Are you going to read it?
Yeah.
They said he was sat there crying while he was
reading
it.
No, I've never cried. But
you liar, you told me. You were about to cry.
I was about to cry because I was literally getting a bit like,
and you had to stop.
Yeah. That's how bad.
I didn't know you had emotions.
No, it's like I was looking at Zimbabwe and that African culture anyway, so I bought a few books in Africa and this one just snuck in there because our family's experience growing up in Africa, perfect, let's see what the culture's like. And it was just like, oof, hit me. It came from nowhere.
There's no chance I'm going to be able
Isn't our unsung hero Freddie New from Zimbabwe?
I don't know, is he?
Yes.
Yeah, he might have.
Maybe he's read that book.
Yeah.
He has a really interesting story. Around a lot of family. It's just really interesting.
His story is great, actually.
Yeah, his story is mental. Mm.
It's just crazy what becomes important to people. Anyway.
I actually don't know how to follow that.
But I'm just saying.
I've had quite a few this year, but the 50 Cent Hustle Harder, Hustle Smarter.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Because Dave hates that. But that's not my choice, but I just wanted to throw that in there because that is a good book.
What was the word he always says?
Hustle.
Hustler. You said you would stop saying... I also read it because I like to read books that you say are good. And then I was like, Danny, when does he stop saying calling people hustlers? And he was like, oh, pretty soon. And I was like, I'm halfway through it. He's saying it every other word.
But it is a good book, though. The lessons...
We've talked about it already on here. I don't agree it's a good book.
The lessons to be learned from that are actually incredibly good.
You learned some lessons. Other people won't learn lessons.
No. But that's what I said about the CEO thing earlier.
Yeah, there's no conflict with what you're saying about the CEO stuff.
Some of the stuff does, but it's the different opinion. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's no one way of doing it.
There's no right or wrong way. Okay. And the way he says, he always, for the meetings and stuff like that, where he goes dressed and everything's smart and thinking, it's like, but reality is, sometimes people go, you can go the complete opposite way.
Yeah.
You can turn up in flip-flops and shorts and people take a step back and think, oh, what the fuck's this guy doing? Yeah. And then they start talking and they know what they're talking about. And it changes, but you've caught them off guard. And he does it in a different way, in a different approach to it, but it's then catching the person off guard that you're going into.
Okay. Bezos was on Friedman recently. He was talking about meetings, what he likes and that kind of thing. He's like, he likes a messy meeting.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
What does a messy meeting mean?
Like no kind of
like agenda.
No kind of agenda, just everyone in the room kind of exploring that's the idea to come to a conclusion.
Because he's copied our messy meetings.
Well, yeah, everyone does it differently, don't they? And you just take little bits from, from everyone.
And what was your other book, then?
So my
actual book.
So this is going to be...
That was obviously a joke.
Annoyingly, this has nothing to do with Bitcoin, and I don't know if I can really tie it in. But and it's going to be a very controversial, considering his current path. Will Smith.
Oh.
Are you serious?
Look at it. Look at our face.
Are you serious? That was that was that good book.
Will Smith. Very good book.
You want us to read that book?
Yeah.
I'll read it if it's your book of the year.
The...
Egotistical Maniac.
Self-titled Will.
So he actually said this.
Exactly, self-titled.
Before he slapped Chris Rock.
Oh, that's not in here, is it?
No, it's because he wrote this before it.
This is the build-up.
This is pre. But if you read this and then you kind of understand why he's gone and done that in some way, and you realise what he's kind of like and different. He's very open, if he's being honest, which I think he is. Because, I mean, he absolutely abuses himself in some areas of the book. But it just, it's like one of them, again, don't believe what you see in the media and all them sort of things. From, we know that from the Bitcoin side and that side of the world. With this, the stuff that I guess he's gone through, like, in, don't get me wrong, he's like a, you know, one of the most famous movie stars of all time and a very wealthy guy.
Egotistical mania.
And he is completely, but he is, the stuff he goes through behind the scenes is the stuff that you don't really see. You see him in the films and doing that, but the reality of him being in that position, having to do them films, the behind the scenes stuff is all the hard work and the hard reality that people don't see, and people think it's all sunshines and rainbows. So that's why I've used it today from a right, CEO is not always just sunshines and rainbows. Most of, actually, it's 99% of the time not sunshine and rainbows.
Okay, so you've given...
And some of the stuff he goes through, like with him with his wife and Jada and all that sort of stuff, and that he goes into all that detail, and it tells you about in the book about how they've been split up for like 6 years, but they're not divorcing and things like that, but they are still... They live completely separately, separate lives, everything. They go off and do things, don't even talk to each other in that respect, but they're still married and they'll still always come back to each other. And then, well, he's explained it all.
Seems quite toxic, relationship.
It massively is. Yeah, when you listen to it, he goes into the detail of it, and it is, it's crazy.
Okay.
But the way he is, and that's, like, he believes that he, it's not like, does he say soulmate or whatever it is, but, like, he believes that he's with her, if that makes sense. But then recently in the news, you see things about, oh, they've been split up. They've split up and they've not lived together for 6 years. And it's like, this is groundbreaking news. It's like, no, he said this in a book 2 years ago. Why are you just jumping
got around
now?
To reading this book?
But, yeah, it's crazy.
Right, I'm annoyed that we committed to reading these now.
No.
So we've got to read that as well.
It's a long one, that one, to be fair. But it's just the journey.
Just to add on to it.
Just give me a huge chore.
The journey is...
I think it'll be interesting.
There's stuff in it that you don't know and you don't realise. And it's more about the fact of... like what's underneath, what's behind the scenes that you don't see. It's nothing to do with like Will Smith in general. It's more that message behind, you see things that you don't normally see. And it's a very good insight to someone that is so famous.
Okay, I'll read it. Brilliant.
Nice.
You're welcome, Dave. I'm not going to read yours. I'm not going to commit to that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought we were all in.
I can't read that.
Yeah. Danny will cry.
I sit there crying when
get somewhere private.
Get it on audio, 10x speed.
It's on audio.
You won't be crying.
It's on Spotify.
Watching I'm a Celebrity Jungle and start crying at that. I can't do that book as well. I'll be a nightmare.
All right, fine.
I'm just trying to determine what order I should read these in.
About two awful books.
Yours last, maybe?
No, do mine first. Then we get out talking about it.
Right.
Cool. Right. Hopefully next time we can do more Bitcoin focus, but yeah,
wait to save that for next
year. I don't think they have to be Bitcoin related. I think as long as they are
good life lessons with them.
Yeah. Right,
okay.
That's podcast.
The one I listened to was the Walker, the Bitcoin podcast.
Did you have any to add to this list?
Sorry, Mikey,
Not particularly. No. I thought most influential Bitcoin, I'd probably put down like Genza or something like that, because I think he is a Bitcoiner.
Yeah, good for
him. And he is swinging his influence around, so I'd probably put him up there.
I was almost saying CZ as well at one point. He's almost showed that actually, the shitcoin casino of what it is behind the scenes. He's now highlighted that, and now he's cleared the way.
He's single-handedly cleaned up the crypto industry. Just resigning.
What a spin that is!
I know. Yeah, you can absolutely spin that way.
Did you have a book or anything? Because I will read your book as well. Hopefully it's better than...
You've already read... Well, my favourite book of the year is probably Animal Farm, to be fair.
Right, read that. Read that this year?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even...
I'm working my way through the Orwell series.
Oh, nice. Have you done Down and Out in Paris in London?
No.
Brilliant book.
I think that's when you recommended I go ahead off instead of 1984.
Okay, yeah. my favourite one. Road to Wigan Piers up there as well.
Yeah. Good things about that.
What was I going to say? Oh, you didn't even mention Broken Money. That's probably the most seminal Bitcoin book of the year.
I've started it. I've not. Again, it's another one of them that I always bang on about, where Bitcoiners love it because they understand a lot of the information in it. A newbie picking that up is just going to...
I'd say it's not for the newbie.
No, not at all.
But it's a good all-rounder.
It's good. I started it. I've stopped at the moment. But yeah, it's a tough read.
It's a slug. Yeah. I'm listening to it.
That's why...
There is a whole chapter just about double entry bookkeeping on banking transactions that they, at the start of the chapter, she even says, you don't have to read this chapter. You can still understand the book without reading this chapter. She just knows that's a boring chapter.
I'm on the last chapter now.
Yeah.
Skipped everyone.
Right, come on. Back. Best podcast.
Come on then.
Oh, me?
I already did mine. The Walker, the Bitcoin. Bitcoin podcast.
I didn't have one.
No.
Not industry related anyway. And not like I can even try and tie in. So.
Okay.
Okay. Mine
yours has got to be the one you went to.
That's
no,
okay. Absolutely not.
I went to a live
version of a podcast. Which like a week ago.
Not the married couple.
Yeah, Chris and Rosie Ramsey.
Oh, my wife loves that.
Can't say Shag Married Annoyed is on is a top. Well, it is my favorite podcast, but not related.
To okay, it's a bit boring at all.
No. Do they not speak to each other during the working during the week so they've got more content to talk about on the pod?
Yeah.
I heard that they did that.
They make notes.
No, fundamentally affecting their marriage.
Yeah, but playing with their marriage.
They're making millions from it, so
save it for the pod.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the live show.
Is it funny?
Oh, great.
Okay.
Yeah. No, my podcast is Modern Wisdom by Chris Williams. You might know him. He was from previously on Love Island, but he's not a podcaster.
Who? Chris?
Chris Williams. But yeah. Anyways, his podcast is it's more like you might do. He doesn't look like that now. He's got a shaved head. Yeah, but
is he trying to recognize him from some?
Oh, you shared this with us, Molly.
Yeah, Dave will probably hate it because it's all life lessons, but it is controversial topics. But again, very along the kind of Bitcoin mindset, like
life lessons from someone that was on Love Island. Yeah, I don't want to prejudge, but I'm not taking any life lessons from that guy.
Okay, but no, it's all about human psychology, brain hacks, again, mental health, diet, exercise. He also does talk about investing. He's had people have talked about Bitcoin on the podcast as well.
Interesting.
So it does have a...
I'll have to have a listen to them.
And it's also good because he's British, which makes a change. Although he does live in the US. Yeah. But I really enjoy it. It's got
a serious face on him, isn't he?
Yeah.
Where's the smile?
Kind of like controversial topics, like modern day feminism is
like Tate-esque.
Yeah.
You fall for that.
Not that extreme, but like
on bordering on.
Yeah. Where have all the real men gone? Blah blah blah. Oh,
it's like that. And you like that?
Yeah. Where have the real men gone? I don't know.
They're so insulted right now.
What does that even mean? Like, so silly.
It's interesting.
Okay, surely we've got enough now. What time is it? 7 past.
Yeah.
Like Janet walked past with her tapping her watch, waiting because she's holding her. Right, what about Best Coin Corner moment?
My podcast. I didn't really, unfortunately, I wanted a Bitcoin one and I wanted to include that, but I've not listened to that many this year, to be brutally honest. And I think that's just a combination of bear market, the conversations that's been had on these podcasts. I don't think are, in terms of the Bitcoin side, I feel like it's a repeat of years previously. And I don't think there's anything new that I could listen to. Maybe other people would. But I think because we've been in the industry so long, you kind of feel like it's on repeat in some ways. No offense to them. But I think there needs to be new shaken up topics. So yeah, I've not really listened to any, unfortunately, from a Bitcoin perspective. Smartless was one I was going to say. Has anyone's ever seen that? Jason Bateman, Will Arnett. It's like a US one. Nothing to do with Bitcoin.
Jason Bateman?
Yeah, but they do a live, it's just because you said about live podcasts as well. Like they do a live podcast and they do a tour.
Oh, well, I like Will Arnett as well.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's a funny one.
It's hilarious. There's a six part series. So they do the podcast, but they've actually done a TV show on it of them filming behind the scenes of the podcast. So it's them traveling around doing it and they go on stage and it shows them. Mm. But what they do is every episode, which could be an interesting one for us, but I don't think we could really do that in a great sense. But the producer, Mikey, between the three of them, every episode, one person pulls on a random guest So the guest, the other two have no idea who the guest is, but the guest doesn't have to necessarily always be like a famous person. It is quite a lot of the time like some celebrity and famous person, but sometimes it's like an expert in a science field or something like that, and they come on and talk about like quantum computing or whatever and talk about random things.
So there's no prep for the other two?
No, nothing. That's it's just quite, go. And it's quite cool. It's quite funny. But it's good because you get some interesting topics that way then, because it's like you're not prepared and you're just asking whatever comes to your head.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously them three are both all funny guys, so it's quite good. So yeah, worth watching.
Okay, give that one a whirl.
But I've not seen Bitcoin on it. I would like to get Bitcoin on it.
Yeah, my favourite podcast is probably the Overlap Stick to Football one with Gary Neville, Roddy Keane and Ian Wright. They've been killing it recently. There's been so many good moments from that this year already, so that would be mine. Not Bitcoin related whatsoever.
We need to get Bitcoin on these podcasts. That's our 2024
aim, yeah.
Get Bitcoin conversations on these podcasts.
Okay. Right, last category, then feed time. Best quantum moment from 2023.
I'll jump in first because then Dave moaned that he couldn't think of one. We've done so much this year with everything regulatory, and I think the big thing for me has probably been a combination that we've moved to a much larger office. Which is more of our own office rather than being in a big building with things. We're in our own space, which we can do what we want with, which I think is quite a big achievement in some ways for the company, I think, as a whole. And the team size has grown substantially.
Very new.
So I think as weird as the big moments of the year, I think this year has been a grinding it out, building things, sorting things in the background. And I think a big part of that has been expanding the team, expanding the offices and doing what we've needed to do ready for the next bull market. So it's not exciting, but it's all part of the behind the scenes stuff that people won't see, and it's a lot of hard work.
Okay, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Did you have that?
I'll take that one.
I'll hire a new team. What expand the team,
yeah. I had exactly what Danny said.
Dave didn't have anything. So I knew Dave had nothing.
Nice one.
Any other Coin Corner 2023 bits?
Mine was just getting the final sign off from Alex saying that, yeah.
Finally, something like that.
I can stop redesigning the same page over and over again.
Yeah, I think, regulations have squeezed a lot of things, unfortunately, in the UK perspective, from publicly what we can advertise and do and say and things. So,
yeah, everyone asking on social is where we've gone. That's probably why.
Yeah, which is, unfortunately, just the way it's going to be going forwards for a lot of places.
Sorry, you just had best Coin Corner moments would have been in between the last podcast, but Christmas Play. Coin Corner Christmas Play.
Oh, we got totally busted in the end.
Oh, yeah.
We need a story.
So if you watched the last podcast, me and Zach thought we were playing 4D chess against the guys that were organised.
We weren't even playing checkers. We weren't.
Snakes and ladders.
Yeah, we encrypted some footage, blackmailed them, essentially thought we got away with it, scot free, called ourselves the bandits and all sorts. We were on top of the mountain.
We're on a high. Day was here, we're giddy little girls waiting for them.
Yeah, we just thought, right, we busted it. But in the end, it turns out they did have footage of us creeping in and messing around with it. And they publicly shamed us in front of the whole of the staff. And then Danny provided further evidence that we snuck in. Yeah. And his retribution, when we thought, like Zach said, we thought we were playing 4D chess, we were playing the same game. They actually stole our, what did they steal? Our dust caps.
Dust caps. Yeah.
And ended up blackmailing us for the night. So ultimately, it ended in humiliation, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
I think it just says crime doesn't pay.
We've kind of committed between the three of us, we will embarrass them next year.
Well, we've vowed to exact a painful revenge on
them. Yeah, painful.
That's what I said to them. We'll get you back for this.
So,
we won't stop until we do. So, that's it now. The vendetta.
No more games.
So when are you going to...
Christmas party.
So it's going to be next Christmas party. You're going to do something to get them three back have nothing to do with organising.
This is personal.
Just to clarify, the next 12 months will be spent
plotting, planning.
At work and in their home. We will ruin as much of their lives as possible and then reveal it on the next Christmas party.
You know what you need to do? You need to get their partners involved and help out and do it.
That may already be in process.
And their family, like that.
We've already tried to kidnap their pets. This is getting serious.
Even the mafia leaves the family out.
They humiliated us. They've got the one upon us. We're going to get them back.
They did.
And a great Christmas party was had by
Yeah, it was good fun. Okay.
Yeah, but most of the Christmas party was spent by me worrying about next year's Christmas party. Because so every year we have two or three people that organise the Christmas party. As the team's getting bigger, we need more people. So the three, they all get volunteered at every Christmas party. You volunteer the next three people to organise the event. And this one, unfortunately, rather than the organisers who embarrassed these guys picking the next three, they decided to let the team pick.
I don't know, massive. We're going to have to put a sensible head in that group.
That three are probably the three wild cards.
I'm with you.
In the company that will, yeah, it's going to be an interesting Christmas party like this year.
Boom or bust that Christmas party. Could just be in here with a packet of crisps.
Yeah. Well, the first thing one of them said is, we'll go to Ibiza. I'll tell you to Ibiza.
No budgetary consequences whatsoever.
Let's calm that down.
One of them is in accounts as well.
Yeah, I'll keep my eye on it, don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's going to be interesting. Cool.
Best wrap up, I think.
Yeah, one that one. I think the heaters have arrived, so we can do that next week.
No, we can't. Next week,
we're not here.
It's Christmas.
We'll do that. Oh, yeah. We'll do that in the next podcast then.
In the new year.
The new year. Yeah.
Right.
Mm. Yep. Last one for the year. Thank you.
Merry
guys.
Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
Yeah. Yep. Cheerio.
End of the year, guys.
Thank you.
All right.